working with other companies that have a high mission-driven impact, really trying to improve the health and happiness of the world, deep, meaningful work and connection, giving back to community in the ways that I see to be fulfilling, and traveling the world, no doubt.
Yes.
That is where you are going to find
gonna
meet, me.
We're going to meet each other in Brazil or India, right?
Oh, let's go.
Welcome to Opportunity Knocks. I'm your host, Todd Patton, and I'm really excited to have in the Sprinter today with me, Alex Smith. Alex, it's so good to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Hi, everyone. I am really grateful to be on this podcast. I can't wait to get into some really fun conversations.
Amazing.
So thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I got to thank Rich for connecting us.
I know.
I made a post on, and this is a go show, the power of social media, because Alex and I had just met a week ago, and that was a phone call. And I posted something on LinkedIn, and I said, I want rock star women entrepreneurs. Because the first six or seven I had were all guys. And I'm like, I got to get mix it up, you know?
Yes.
I
got to
get. And Rich sent me a message, Fitzgerald,
yep.
Who owns C's.
Yes.
And he said,
another very successful entrepreneur.
Very. He is super smart. And he said, hey, Alex is your girl. And he made the connection. And that's how we connected. So first of all, thank you for taking time and talking with me. And Alex, just to kind of back up a little bit, this podcast is called Opportunity Knocks. And the goal of it is I want to bring a ton of value to the audience, the people watching this. And part of it, I believe, is as an entrepreneur, a young entrepreneur like yourself, is opportunity's knocking at the door all the time. And when we spoke briefly and you told me your story about going to Alabama and how that happened, that's opportunity knocking. And then you took advantage of it. And that's the key.
Yes.
Talk about that first one. So you went to school. You grew up in South Florida.
Yes.
Deerfield, right? Where we're at, right? Yeah. We're Pompano.
Exactly. So I'm originally from South Florida. And one of the reasons why I was so excited to come on this podcast and talk is because I feel like my entire success of anything that I've done so far has just been really me playing on the opportunity that presented itself in front of me. And having enough discernment to take action on that was. And it took me all over the world. So yes, it started with Alabama, which is amazing, right? So I'm a first and only college graduate in my family. And going to college for me wasn't an option unless I found a way to get school paid for. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, I was a theater kid. I singing and dancing and speaking, all of that was always really fun for me. So when I wanted to go to college, I started looking at all the different opportunities that are out there, right? So there is a lot of scholarship money that is sitting out there, their story, and they end up giving you money to go to school. So for me, I went down the path of hunting, what were those things? What did I need to do?
Now, you probably had a good guidance counselor in school to help you, or you did this yourself?
I did this myself.
Amazing.
I did this myself. And so, it was really on my own will, knowing mm-hmm. that I wanted to go to college, knowing that I wanted to leave South Florida and see the rest of the world. And so really had to make that happen for myself. I, of course, had a very encouraging parents that were supportive, but they would not be able to fund the kind of money that you need these days to go to college.
Right.
And so I found the speech and debate team. When I was at Tallahassee Community College.
So that's a route there. Community college is a 2-year before
yes.
you go to college. So that was a good move. So you moved to Tallahassee, you're at community college,
yep.
and you're taking speech and debate.
Nice. Well, first I took this poetry class,
okay.
and I liked to read my stuff out loud. And then my teacher was like, do you do theater? Do you do debate? And I was like, all right, lady, I just got to college. I'm trying to have a good time. I'm not like really trying to do theater right now. Anyways, so they're like, oh, we give scholarships for this. So anyways, I met the director that was in charge of the speech and debate and theater department. I got right in on the speech and debate team. He saw a lot of potential in me, and I ended up being pretty good at it. And I went to a tournament at the University of Alabama. I won a bunch of first place trophies as a novice, and everyone was like, what's going on with this girl? Who is she? Thank God. I had no idea what I was doing. But
were you competing with all college, other colleges too?
Yes.
So
all 4-year universities. And lo and behold, Tallahassee Community College actually has one of the best 2-year programs in the nation. 4-year universities recruit for them all the time for debate.
I didn't know that.
And so I got a full ride scholarship to Alabama. And it was like being on the sports team for 4 years. I traveled all around the U.S., competing public speaking wise.
Amazing. What experience that is.
It was incredible. Obviously, hindsight now, having that and then having my own businesses and having formal public speaking and negotiation
sure.
training is only supported.
So it's interesting. You mentioned the background as a kid doing theater and mm-hmm. being in front of people. And as an entrepreneur, I didn't have any training in speaking. And I'll tell you, when you get up to the first time without your, you know, background of you have, it's nerve wracking. So people listen to this, it's everybody gets nervous, right? It's just, it's okay to be nervous, but I think practice makes perfect, right? And you and practice, make, you know, working hard at it improves it. And that's probably what you did as a kid, is you just got better and better and better. So now you're winning, you win first place prizes, you get a scholarship, go to Alabama, graduated Alabama.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Well done.
And then what happened business-wise? I mean, you got a good degree. I would think lawyer maybe would be a good route with that kind of that trial lawyer.
I thought I was going to go into something related, maybe politics, economics, but, you know, life always throws you different curveballs, right? So at the time, I was really focused on getting my master's at Alabama and becoming a speech and debate coach and taking that route. And I thought I would go and get my PhD in communications. Mm-hmm. I did not get accepted into the program. I did not receive a scholarship. Little fact about me, I'm a horrible test taker. Mm-hmm. I mean, I totally freeze. So all of those tests that you have to take, I just completely bust around thinking, okay, now what am I going to do? So actually what I did was I started applying for different jobs. I knew that I wanted to potentially go into sales. I obviously had a big public speaking background and I thought, all right, I don't know about politics. I don't know about lobbying, even though it seems like a natural progression for me. I ended up landing a job in New York City right out of college, working for a high growth technology startup called Single Platform.
Wow.
And so
that's your first job, New York City.
In New York City.
Jeez.
So
you're making your way up north.
I'm making my way up north. I've got one suitcase. I'm sleeping on couches. I get hired at this company to be one of their salespeople. There are probably about 100 salespeople on the sales floor, New York City buzzing.
Is this a profitable business at the time or is it a startup?
At the time, it had just gotten acquired.
Okay.
And we went through another acquisition when I was there. So, you know, then when I went to New York, I didn't have any other way but to find my way to be successful. For me, being in New York City, feeling that energy, having the opportunity to be there, it was just infectious. Like, I needed to make it, right? Like, failure was not an option
awesome.
For me.
Love it.
So I hustled and slept on my friends' couches until as long as I could to make the money that I needed in order to start establishing, you know, lifestyle for myself. And that's, I hustled. And I ended up being one of the top 3% salespeople quarter over quarter while I was at this company.
How long were you there for?
I was there for 3.5 years.
Jeez.
So I was selling enterprise. I was learning how to sell. And, you know, they say hard work beats talent when talent fails to work. And I just worked really hard, had the opportunity to move up into the management space. And then I inherited a team of 17 people when I was, I don't know, 24 years old. In Manhattan, working for this company that just got acquired. Again,
incredible.
Just doing all of these different things, baptism by fire, right? Uh-huh. The opportunity presented itself.
Yeah.
That's
what
I do over and over again.
You strike me, again, we don't know each other that well. We've only spoke a couple times, but I feel like I've known you for a while.
For sure.
We're going to have a great friendship for a long time. I'm positive of that. Definitely. But it sounds like confidence played a big role in you having it. In other words, when you're there, you're starting out in a tech position. Yeah, you did speech, you did debate, you did that, but tech's a whole other world. That's technical. I mean, it's, you have to know how to speak that language. You're going up against, I'm sure, people.
Yes, of course.
How did you have that confidence? Is it something that you just said, I got to learn this product or whatever it was that you were selling, this platform, and just be the best at it so I could talk intelligently about it? Was that, kind of walk us through that process of how you had that confidence?
You know, the confidence stems obviously from being really young and being in theater and being on stage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some of our biggest fears about speaking and articulating our point of view started really young for me, and then having those 4 years of formal. So surprise, surprise, I show up to do sales and I'm learning how to articulate this product and its value. And I'm learning to objection handle with the people that I'm speaking with. It did come a lot quicker for me because of my background and my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so that did give me the confidence. But I think that I've been always really motivated by two things. Earlier in my career, I would say I was pretty motivated by fear, right? I wanted to be somebody. I wanted to do something. I wanted to make money. I wanted to be in New York City. And so I didn't want to let failure happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it almost put me in this category, yes, you know, looking like I was motivated by confidence, but really it was kind of deeply rooted in something bigger than I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Now, I don't operate so much in a place of fear. more so of, what obviously is to come and the possibility.
Strategies.
So it's like, different.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say that, you know, as a person, I work on myself a lot outside of work. So I'm a very spiritual person. My relationship with God has been a huge part of how I navigate the twists and turns of opportunities. Mm-hmm. I am super into fitness and mental health. So I keep my mind right. And when you
love
focus
that.
On your mind and your mind and your spirit,
yeah.
That does give me confidence. You know, I take care of myself and I know I got a big squad spiritually of people that are guiding me through this process.
Incredible. And so now 3.5 years, was it something that you said, it's time to move on to another company? Or what was that thought process of leaving that company? Because obviously you're moving up the ladder,
yeah.
Right?
So absolutely. I was at the height of, I tend to have this tendency where when I was working for these Fortune 100 companies, whenever I left them, I was by far at my highest point, which should tell you something about me. Time. So 3.5 years there, I was making money for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have money before. So what was I going to do with it? I wanted to
get
travel.
Awards, winning your top sales.
Yes, exactly. So the number one thing that I wanted to do with my money is I didn't want to go to another brunch in New York City. I didn't really, care to go shopping. It's like, I wanted to see the world. Mm. So I went to Brazil.
Which, by the way, is the best education you can get more than school. I mean, right?
Travel is my one true love. I'll tell you that.
I'm with you.
And so I went to Brazil for 2 weeks, and I was really open to all of the different culture and perspective and experience, so much that when I came back to New York, I thought, oh my God, there are other ways to do life. And I'm so grateful that I got exposed to that experience. So for me, I had decided at that point, okay, my time is coming up at this company. I want to go and travel for a little while. So I ended up quitting my job, selling my things. Buying
wow.
a one-way ticket to Brazil.
What?
And I traveled solo in South America for 1 year with a backpack.
And you just had money saved from when you went and you lived off of that for a year. Isn't that amazing how it puts, when you go see, and for me it was India, because I went to India for 8 years and I spent almost a month there for work every year. And you see the poorest of the poor, and it's so sad how you see it. But then you look and you go, that person's really happy. It's like, the joy that they have, where in the U.S., everybody's chasing money. And look, financial freedom is nice. It's a great thing. But when you see that other side of it, like I imagine Brazil, I'm sure you had that experience of saying, these people are living a cool life. Like, I want this. I want to give it a shot. And look, hats off, because to do that when you did it, it's not easy, and it takes a lot of strength and confidence we talked about. So you move out there 1 year. Did you have a place? Was it like when you went? Did you have a connection there?
No, so I literally just rolled up into Brazil. I went with a couple friends.
Do you speak Portuguese?
Um pouco português.
You do?
And um pouquinho espanhol. So I get around. I took classes. That's the other thing too, right? Nothing for me has ever fallen into my lap. I do think that there are times where I'm grateful to have received, perhaps luck at the times that I did. But by far, everything that I've done, I've orchestrated it so I can do these things, right?
Sure.
So I took the classes in Portuguese. I saved my money.
This is when you were in college or?
In New York.
While you had your full-time job, you started taking Portuguese classes?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Started putting the pieces together, found a person to come in and sublease,
See, I'm sorry to interrupt you,
no,
Alex,
please.
But what I'm getting from you, and I had somebody on as a guest of a podcast, and Michael Udine, who's the mayor of Broward County,
yes.
And the former mayor, he's currently the commissioner, but he was the mayor of Broward and past mayor of Parkland. And he stressed to me, he said, Todd, because I said, what's the biggest takeaway? What do you look for when you talk to somebody? Preparation. He goes, I want you to be so prepared. He goes,
so prepared.
And that sounds to me, whatever you do.
I'm a calculated person.
I love it.
It starts with the idea, mm-hmm. right? But I think where a lot of people get stuck is that idea does need to get put into an action plan. And you do need
to a lot of people have good ideas.
Right.
But implementing it and making it happen, that's another story. And if you're not prepared and you're not ready, and it sounds, look, I love this story. I love your journey. So now we're going back. You did 1 year. After a year, you said, did you go back to New York City?
No, actually, I went to San Francisco.
Oh.
And I started to, and I went on this spiritual journey for myself afterwards, even though this trip was very spiritual for me too. Uh-huh. I did a lot of volunteer work and gave back when I was traveling. I went to Brazil, Uruguay, Argentina, Chile, Peru, and Colombia. So when I came back, I had this profound experience. I could have just jumped back into corporate world, right? I felt like nobody understood me.
Right.
And so when I go to the Silicon Valley, because I know tech, I know startups, I know sales.
Smart place, at the time, yes.
And I was interviewing at different tech companies out there for other sales leadership positions. So at this point in my career, I'm running sales teams. I'm still working in high growth tech startups. And I'm interviewing at these companies in San Francisco, and I'm not feeling it at all. But what I am feeling is that I need to continue to scratch the itch on wanting to understand yoga, breathwork, and meditation, which I was introduced to that when I was in Peru. I stayed in a meditation house for 10 days, and I thought, oh my God, I have never felt so good. How do I feel like this more often? What is this even? I'm breathing. I'm relaxing. So I ended up, when I was in San Francisco, there is an ashram in San Francisco, which is basically a spiritual house of study through the lens of Hinduism. And I went and moved into the ashram for 6 months, and I studied yoga. I studied breathwork. I studied meditation, and really all where it came from. So it was really interesting. And then I went back to corporate tech afterwards. But it was this.
What a great experience. So you were there 6 months?
6 months.
And then now you're, I mean, you're a force to be reckoned with. Now, after this, you got your mind right, right?
Yes.
You got your vision, I guess, of what you want to get. And then where did you go after that 6 month period?
So at this point, I had been working on myself for, you know, a good year and a half. At the time, I was teaching yoga and having a lot of fun with that. It was amazing. I helped a girlfriend open up a couple yoga studios in San Francisco. And then I was really excited to actually go back into a leadership position within the tech world, knowing that I'd just done all this work on myself. And I was so excited to apply that back to business in a completely different angle. And so I joined this company called Flexport. I mean, they're doing $1 billion in revenue. They, you know, 14x their share price in the last couple of years. They are
an
air and ocean logistics company doing global shipping.
Okay. So
logistics. Like a tech enabled.
Okay.
So I joined this company. It's growing like a weed. Okay. They have me move to LA to open up their office and run their sales development department for them. And so I ended up leading a part of their sales team globally. And so I was with this company for a while, and then so grateful, right? We never know how our story is going to connect. But here I was working in tech, not so connected to this mission, right, of working logistics. I just did this very spiritual experience. But, okay, never underestimate your power of your reputation either. So, you know, when I was working in New York, I got referred to, you know, this other executive. The executive reached out to me, a company called Headspace. Headspace, you may not know it. They have over 80 million users worldwide.
It's an app. They do meditation. Meditation.
Yes, meditation and mindfulness.
Yeah.
So they had reached out to me. They loved my background with mental health, meditation, and also technology and sales. And they were looking for a sales leader. And so I ended up leaving Flexport, joining Headspace. And I was at Headspace for 5 years running their global sales team.
Out of where?
That business. Los Angeles.
So it was in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So he reached out to you, the executive that you met at your job, at your first job in New York. That's an opportunity knocking. Yes.
Always full circle. And that's, you never know, right? You know, when I was doing the yoga thing for a while, I thought, okay, obviously I'm not making money. I'm doing this thing that I love. Why is this relevant? When is it going to come back and make sense for me? And it did. And so now, again, when that opportunity knocked on the door, it was so clear to me that that is what I needed to do. And so I spent 5 years at that company. And then I am excited to say that after my time left at Headspace, this was a little over a year ago, I've been all in on my own business.
All right. Now I have I'm gonna edit this, a round of applause app. We're all gonna be clapping right now, because that's a standing ovation.
Oh, thank you.
Congratulations on taking that leap, and what a journey you've had. And that's such a young, I mean, you're still so young.
Yes, I'm 34. I know. What's gonna be in front of you.
That's amazing what you've accomplished in that short time.
Thank you.
So let's talk about your business now.
Yay.
So tell me about how you, first of all, let's start with the podcast, the platform. You have an amazing podcast. I've been listening to some of your episodes.
Yes.
You are good at this.
Thank you.
Yes.
I love podcasting. It's You're so really fun. Good at it too. That's why we're collaborating.
Exactly.
So yeah, so the podcast and YouTube channel that I have is called FDI Takeover. And FDI Takeover is about freaking doing it. It is about living your truth. It's about bossing out, getting out of your own way, but specifically healing from your trauma, healing from your past, so that way you can enjoy and manifest the things that you want in the future. So we bring coaches, healers, therapists onto the show, and we break down different topics around mental health. So it is through a lens of advocacy.
It sounds like first thing is recognizing what issues, because we all have issues. Everybody, there's no, I mean, anybody that says, oh, my life is perfect.
Right.
But I think always a challenge is that I've always seen sweeping it underneath a mat. If you do that and you hide it, it's going to come back out, you know? And
sure.
So recognizing, it sounds like what you're doing is recognizing the you know, challenges, issues, whatever it is that you have, and then bringing that face forward, right? Like
exactly.
Facing that. I love it.
It's about overcoming those things that we know that can limit us in the background. Sometimes we're conscious about it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're not even conscious about it yet. So there's different, whether they are coming into consciousness about wanting to better their life or change it, or they're already on the journey and they're really navigating through the intricacies of how you get to a place of where you really want to go, living your dream life, what you desire.
And you have experience at that. I mean, even at this young age. So do you bring on guests or have them on at where they're in, you know, yoga, meditation? Like, is that kind of the background of who you're bringing on, or is it open to, like, how does the guest, and then how does the, you know, the back and forth go on that?
Yeah.
Is it talking about, and do you take calls coming in? Like, what's the...
Yeah, so we have a lot of people write in right now from our email and on our comments on our YouTube page. And also, everyone can follow us on Instagram at FDI Takeover. So we do like to hear from the audience of the different things that they might be battling with that they want us to do podcast episodes on. So we've had a executive leadership coach. His name is Matt Savrick. He's a dear friend of mine and also a business partner of mine. But he is an amazing leadership coach. And so he talks a lot about men's mental health. Mm-hmm. And so we have another episode where we brought Dr. Roberta DiCastro onto the show, and she's a licensed clinical therapist, and she's also a healer. So she does a lot of spiritual work with people and breaking down different topics around the intersection of your faith and your belief and your mental health. And then I also recently had a professional dancer. She's amazing. Her name is Elisa. She owns a bunch of Pilates studios, and she talked about how she uses body consciousness to really become super confident in her business and what she's doing. So it's all over the map. So really high vibrating, I would say, entrepreneurs and people who are specifically focused on health and wellness.
It sounds like you're building a community, right?
Yes.
And supporting that community. You know, it's funny because, and maybe we could use this time now, I think, to go back and forth on this. I actually spoke yesterday. He's a tech guy, and he goes, I love your podcast. I'm following him. I love it. He goes, can I give you some advice? I said, please, you know, good.
Absolutely.
He goes, ready for this? He said, have you heard of, oh God, I hope I'm saying it right. Streak. Is it Streak?
Streak.
Is it Streak? Is that the right?
I'm not sure.
Oh gosh. I can't believe I'm drawing a blank on the name of this. Not Stripe. I think it's
Stripe.
No, it's not Stripe. Anyway, it's and I used it one time, maybe 5 years ago, but it's like a chat thing that you could chat for your company. You'll have it and you'll create it's not Streak, but I'll put it up there when I get it.
Yeah, put it in the comments.
And he said, he just told me this yesterday. He said, you could build a community where basically it's free to join this platform. And it's like a chat app, right?
Slack.
Slack.
That's what it is.
I drew a blank. We're going to actually cut that out. I completely drew it. So and this is somebody yesterday that I spoke with. I was at my daughter's cheer competition and I'm talking to him. His name's Ian. Great friend of mine. Super successful guy. Techie. And, you know, he looked at me and he said, Todd, what you're doing is great. You should be building a community. And to do that the right way, you gotta have a platform that can do that. And you just told me it is
Slack.
You know, I used Slack maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I used it we had a web department, we had a social media department. And somebody said, if you want those two communicating better, create a Slack account and they'll. So I said, he recommends I do this. And I'm like, Slack for a podcast? And he goes, I'll send you a link of a guy, he a friend of his that did this successfully. And he built a huge following on Slack. They had, so a speaker, like what you said, let's say somebody doing meditation or whatever it is, would come on. And that anybody who has questions on that topic can then go on the Slack, you know, that board, whatever you want to call it. I think it's called a board. And you could just ask your question, and then that person can now answer it. And so it's like, he goes, it's a way to to engage your community versus having call-ins on a podcast that maybe you can't do that or whatever. So anyway, it's interesting. So I'm going to navigate. I actually put it on my calendar last night. I said, Slack, learn it. And I wrote it on my calendar. So my to-do list. And I'm going to implement that in Opportunity Knox. I'm going to have an account, and I'm going to tell people, hey, there might be questions you have. If I have somebody like Alex on, and you say, gosh, I'd love to know about her travel when she did that, and what she, because she really seems like she's got the, and if they could ask you a question, how great would that be? You know?
I love that idea. There's so many different fun things that we can do with technology. That's why I find myself, I'm a tech girl for sure. And my business now is called Zen Seller. So now that makes sense, right? My background in sales, my passion and love for yoga and mental health, breathwork, meditation.
Love the name, Zen Seller.
Zen Seller. So now I'm consulting for businesses who are trying to become more technology enabled so they can scale their revenue. So it's what I know how to do.
And that could be for any, is it health? Is it mental health or is it any industry? Any
right now it's any industry.
Yeah, I you have a background all
when
across.
When it comes to revenue and sales. So I basically help companies sell more of their stuff. And I do that in a way by helping them integrate technology and then building go-to-market plans and helping them fine-tune a sales operating system within their organization that's repeatable, scalable, and predictable.
So
a lot of the companies I do work with are in the health and wellness space. They're already really focused on being technology enabled, but I do have some clients that are really taking a leap because they know how important it is for their business to do well in the future to implement some of these things now.
It's a startup. They're building an app. They have an idea. They're in that early stage, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't got funding yet. They haven't got this, but they want to hire you. They know that you can bring value. How does that look? Is that something where you basically say it's almost like a brainstorming type thing where you have with them, you learn about their business, you learn about it, and then you, how does that work? Almost like a CMO type role. I'm not a CMO, but some like a virtual executive.
Yes. So basically, it depends on where the company stage is, right? So I want to say that I can sit here and help everybody, but we all know that that's not also the best thing for business.
Right.
So I don't know if I can help someone until I have a conversation with them about their business for sure. There's a couple things that need to be established, right? You need to have product market fit. There has to be some sort of funding so that way you can implement some of the resources and things that I'm going to recommend. So there's definitely a scoping process that happens in the beginning, right? So I'll meet with somebody first. We'll do an intake of their business. I'll ask them a bunch of questions. And again, these can be, you know, they might not have had anybody ask them these questions before because maybe they're still newer in idea concept phasing. But it's just for me to understand where they're at in their business and then understanding where they're trying to go. And then I do an intake afterwards and do an assessment, right? I gather, talk about an optimized state, and then we figure out the cadence in which we'll work together.
And then your your background in sales, it sounds like everything you just described, there's a lot of operations in that too.
Yes.
But sales is your background. I mean, that's what you're really good at, tech sales, right? So is that something that it could be all the above, both sales and operation?
Yes.
Awesome. See, for me, mine would be sales. I'm not so much more, and I'd rather hire somebody who's really good at operations. You have both those to cover. I love that.
That is why I was in the positions that I was in within these tech companies. So my titles when I was at these companies was I was head of global sales development. So I worked really closely with operations and the marketing teams to then transfer things to sales, deploy it, and have them implement it to be successful.
Love that. That's
and
great.
And I find that show up a lot in my consulting work.
That's huge.
The
That's
ability
big.
To be able to organize what they're saying and put it into a blueprint and deploy that blueprint for it to be successful.
And that's the beauty of consulting. And I think with why you're going to be so successful with your business is you're not doing the work. A lot of these companies are going to have people to do it. You're the strategist. You're the one that's saying, I've seen this before. Here's why we're going to do it. Here's the way. Like, I think this is with this, Alex, and this has been great, by the way.
Yeah,
so awesome
so
having
much.
You here. And
I know, we could talk forever.
I know, we could. So Dr. Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind, right? So I'm going to ask you, 10 years from now, where do we see Alex doing? I mean, are we going to see you as, I could see you running a country here. I mean, I could see you running the United States. But is it, and you mentioned originally as a college student, politics was an option. Is that something, or is it, again, 10 years from now, obviously you want to build your business here, but what do you see? What's the future?
It's such a good question. This journey of entrepreneurship has completely transformed the vision of the path that I envisioned for myself. And now that this is a newer journey for me, this question continues to be top of mind, and I'm really trying to crystallize what that future looks like. So my future, for sure, I know this business is going to continue to grow and be very successful. I see myself having an office down here that's buzzing, small but exciting, right, to improve the health and happiness of the world, deep, meaningful work and connection, giving back to community in the ways that I see to be fulfilling, and traveling the world, no doubt.
Yes.
That is where you are going to find
me. We're going to meet each other in Brazil or India,
let's
right?
Go. Let's go. That sounds great.
Alex, it's so good having you here. And like I said, we're going to be friends for a long time. I'm positive of that. And I'm sure we'll have some business stuff together too. Well, maybe, who knows? Maybe we'll partner up on a podcast or something. You know,
yes.
Do a joint podcast.
I would love that. Thank you so much for creating this space for people to be inspired, to take that leap, and to understand when the opportunity is right in front of them. I love it.
Awesome. Thank you so much,
Alex. Okay. Bye.
All right.